We hear again from the reading of Acts chapter 9. But Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any belonging to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now, as he went on his way, he approached Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven shone around him. And falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do." The men who were traveling with him stood speechless, hearing the voice, but seeing no one. Saul arose from the ground, and although his eyes were opened, he saw nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus, and for 3 days he was without sight and neither ate nor drank. Now there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and the Lord said to him in a vision, "Ananias," and he said, "Here I am, Lord." And the Lord said to him, "Rise and go to the street called Straight, and at the house of Judas look for a man of Tarsus named Saul, for behold, he is praying. And he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight." But Ananias answered, "Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name." But the Lord said to him, "Go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine, to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and children of Israel." In the name of Jesus. Jesus is your shepherd. To his Father, he prayed, "O Father, I kept them in your name, which you have given me. I have guarded them, and not one of them has been lost except the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now, O Father, I am coming to you. I have given them your word. I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, O Father, are in me, and I in you, that they may also be in us." John 17. When Jesus prayed to his Father for those who believe in him through the word that he would give to his apostles, he was praying to his Father for you, that you would be one with him and his Father. Here's your shepherd, Jesus. Here's how he does it. He takes your name before his Father, praying to his Father to forgive you, to bless you, praying for the Holy Spirit to bring the word of cleansing to you, to sanctify you. And in this, Jesus is, as he says, keeping you in his name. He is your shepherd. He's all of our shepherd, of course. The good shepherd who loves his sheep, having given himself up for them. From John 21, Jesus said to Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me? Feed my lambs." Then, "Simon, son of John, do you love me? Tend my sheep." And then, "Simon, son of John, do you love me? Feed my sheep." Before our Lord ascends to heaven, he is sending his apostles out. He gives his apostles his word. By his word, by the preaching of Christ crucified, Jesus is gathering his church. So here we are, gathered, his flock. No lamb chooses himself into this flock. Jesus chooses. Jesus gathers. He cares for. He keeps. We don't get ourselves into the flock. We don't keep ourselves in the flock. We don't feed and water ourselves. We don't protect ourselves from wolves. That's not the way this sheep and shepherd thing works. It's the shepherd, always. It's Jesus. It's all him. If we claim other than that, If we think we're the sheep taking care of ourselves, we're claiming to be other than sheep belonging to Jesus. So to see how Jesus does his shepherding job, we can take a quick look at Paul, who at the time was called Saul, Acts 9:1. But Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any belonging to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. To the church, that is to Jesus' flock, Saul is a wolf. We remember how Saul helped in stoning Stephen to death. That's just a couple chapters back in the book of Acts. Now Saul is traveling to Damascus, and if he's successful, many other Christian families will be picked up by Saul and given the Stephen treatment. Paul is going after people, after families, whom Jesus calls his sheep. At this point of Saul traveling to Damascus, Jesus is now, of course, already crucified and resurrected, and he's ascended to heaven. So what will Jesus do to protect his sheep from Saul? Maybe drop a rock on him? Strike him with leprosy? Send a hungry lion or hit him with a bolt of lightning? The sheep need protecting. The word pastor is just the Latin word for shepherd. It has the same root as the word pasture, where you put those sheep out to eat. So here's how Jesus is the shepherd, the pastor. Acts 9:3. As Saul went on his way, he approached Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven shone around him. And falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do." If we want to know a little bit about what Jesus meant when he said to his Father that we would be one with Jesus as Jesus is one with his Father, it's there in those words to Paul of, "Why are you persecuting me?" Because he wasn't throwing rocks at Jesus. He was throwing rocks at the sheep, like Stephen. And yet when you throw a rock at Stephen, you hit Jesus. When you persecute our families, you persecute Jesus. Jesus is the shepherd. In shepherding his church, he will set Saul to be an under-shepherd. He will give Saul a new name, Paul. He will tell Paul what to do to care for the sheep. He will then send Paul far north to nations and cities such as Ephesus and Corinth, Athens and Rome. He will stand Paul in front of the same Christians that Paul had been imprisoning, persecuting, and murdering. And from Paul's mouth, the Lord will be giving these same Christians, whom he loves, the preaching to save them. From Paul's mouth, from which they first heard threats, they will now hear the word of Christ crucified and the preaching of the sinner justified before the throne in heaven. From Paul's mouth, these Christians will be hearing the word giving to them the gift of repentance and the forgiveness of sins. From Paul's hands, the same hands that held the coats of those throwing rocks to kill Stephen, from these same hands, these Christians will be receiving the body and blood of Christ for the forgiveness of all their sin. This is Jesus gathering sheep into his church, feeding them with his word of gospel, protecting them from the accusations of the evil one. His church, his sheepfold, it's you and me. It's our families. It's all those Jesus calls to his name and gathers to his table. He does it by the voice of a man, a sinful man such as Paul or Peter or doubting Thomas or any of the pastors the apostles ordained and then sent forth, pastors such as Timothy and Titus. By these voices, voices sinful according to the flesh, but holy according to the word of Jesus, by these human voices, Jesus will continue shepherding his sheep. We're his sheep. It's us. His word is for us. A pastor is set in front of the sheep. Pastor simply being the Latin word for shepherd. But Jesus is the shepherd, only Jesus. The pastor, the under-shepherd. The pastor himself has no words worth you hearing. No words to cleanse the sheep, to forgive their sin, to justify them before the Father. But Jesus does. And by his apostles, he set pastors. Scripture calls them other titles too: servants, ministers, teachers, preachers. By his apostles, Jesus sets these pastors to preach his word to the sheep. By this preaching, they are justified and made one with him. No other word will do. No other word will forgive sins, will cleanse the conscience, will bestow the heart of faith. Only the word of justification, the word of Christ crucified for the sheep. That's the way Jesus does it, through the preaching of justification. Not by teaching maybe a long list of rules or methods to live a better life, nor by motivational talks leading to a more Christian walk, whatever that might mean, but by the preaching of Christ crucified. Can you be that sheep, the lamb who is cleansed by the word of forgiveness, the sheep justified by preaching, a member of the flock continually gathered to the name of Jesus to hear his gospel? You are that sheep. He is your shepherd. Your baptism will let us say no less. The promise of the gospel leaves no doubt. The body and blood he gathers you to bind you to him. You're in oneness with him as he is in oneness with his Father. You are that sheep. You are justified by his word. He is your shepherd. In the name of Jesus, amen.